go ahead and call the meeting to order. Okay, there's just a couple of things that we need to work on. So under old business, that actually needs to be moved to old, new business. We need to move the open house for this evening because that was never discussed at a board meeting prior to.
But everybody knows about it, so.
Yeah, I know, but we discussed it at the decorating thing, and that was one of the big things that we got in trouble for, that we'd be doing business outside the board meeting. And I don't want to be even accused of that.
Is that from 4 to 5:30?
6:40.
4 to 6:30.
Mm-hmm. 4 to 6:30?
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the bottom line, we just need to move it to new business. That being said, and then there was a couple other things that about the So can we go up? Did everybody get a chance to read the past board minutes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you okay?
Yeah,
fine.
I have one more bruise, and then somebody will ask, how did you get that?
Then
you just say, my husband said he was sorry.
Oh, boy.
So did everybody get a chance to read the minutes?
Yes, sir.
Is there any corrections?
I do have one point. Well, I don't think I did. Just on the club survey questionnaire.
Yes.
GI. Mentioned that suggested creating a selection process, and Karen created, but I think they should mention, because I had some comments that I was concerned about a selection process, and I think that should be mentioned.
I don't remember that.
Oh yeah, I was saying that I was worried that because it's supplied by tax dollars,
right?
We can't you know, discriminate. We had to be very careful, but that wasn't mentioned here, and I kind of think that should be.
So, just your statement that
you could say
we can't.
Anne suggested that we be very cautious because this is a tax-supported function, and you know we can't discriminate against anybody. But really, though, I mean, I didn't say this then, but just to throw it in now, the only criteria we really should have is either residents of Boulder County.
Yeah.
I think that's an amount that's going to be addressed during the meeting.
But I mean, it was discussed, so we shouldn't mention it.
Well, Boulder County or Longmont.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
well, that'll be discussed later. We can discuss that.
Yeah.
They aren't, so I don't think
aren't technically all residents of Longmont.
The club should be based. But I mean, that's a new discussion, but my discussion was
that because it's tax dollars, that we need to be mindful not to discriminate
against anyone, including men.
Yes.
I just think that should be mentioned in here.
But you did bring it up.
Yeah.
I'll include that.
Okay.
Thank you.
So we'll do that correction. Are there any other corrections or concerns with the minutes?
On number one, call to order. Instead of recreation managers, although I appreciate the motion. No, wait, John, probably just recreation staff. Under, since
recreation managers, Sue Dapp and Ben.
I'm going to say manager.
You've been referred to that way in previous minutes,
just staff.
Just recreation.
Staff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you like the pay increase if you're going to be listed that, yeah. It helps with the holidays.
Yeah. It's really wishful thinking. I hope you put it out to the universe.
So any other corrections? Okay.
I made one little correction, and that's only in our mission statement. I had the word community kept on it, but it's a lowercase, so
okay.
I'll make that little
yes.
It's just Scrivener's error.
Okay. So can I get a motion with the corrections made to accept the minutes?
I move we accept the minutes as corrected.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, great. It's been moved, seconded, and voted upon. Let's move forward.
There she is.
Yes.
Yes.
I love your best. Beautiful.
Train going back and forth.
Oh, you got that.
That's what we were just saying.
Because I saw the hands coming down just as I was.
In the rearview mirror?
In the rearview mirror is okay.
And then kind of work guy and went back and forth. It's like, from the other text.
I was able to just cut down my go
around. That hair's filled.
Okay, so we just went over the minutes.
Oh, it's perfect timing because it's filled.
So. I guess we could take a break while Phil gets up the stairs and Kathy is downstairs to. Did you see the little barista bar we got set up over there with the special serves and everything? Isn't it nice?
Yes, very
nice. So everything but the steamer and we are just hunky dory. Hunky dory and then some. About the phase analysis.
Did you guys get a chance to look at the report? Hello.
Hello.
Welcome. Hi. Hello. Good. How are you?
We're so excited about this. You have no idea. This is just.
I was wondering if I was walking into a trap or something.
Yeah, right.
No, we are jazz. This is so great. And your timing couldn't have been better. You're right there.
Next item.
So if you have this good of luck the rest of the day, you're set.
Yeah.
You got a chair right over here.
Thanks.
So let me introduce myself. I'm Marie McCoy. I'm the chair of the board, and the rest of the you know.
Well, I can start chatting. Basically, all I brought here for the laptop was like the images of the samples themselves, so you can see them in larger detail. I'm not sure how super helpful that is, but I also brought all the samples themselves. Talk about the process. So I'll just go into the process a little bit. So you guys contacted me. I looked at the house, looked at the different sections of history, the construction history I had, and then sort of picked out different elements that I thought would be useful for trying to figure out what the polychromatic scheme would have been if there is different, periods.
Can you reboot it?
Sure.
Sometimes when you plug it in, it doesn't.
But it should show up
somehow.
There you go.
That is really weird. It looks like it's like it's got multiple. Do you normally have more than one screen?
Honestly, this is a spare laptop that I just went ahead.
Technology, isn't it wonderful?
Yeah,
I love it. I'm sorry, there's a way to just share the screen.
My kids go to law.
Well, it's sharing the screen, it's just not saying the right screen.
Yeah.
It's just like you've got multiple
screens.
Right.
Exactly.
And if you don't use it and do it, it doesn't scare.
Yeah.
My husband decided the whole house, we have a smart house, but he decided that Alexa needed to turn on TV. Which got your own tuner and the television and the Roku thing. So he made the theater. He said,
yelling.
I can just push a button and my TV comes on.
My remote. It's an object.
But our neighbor has it so his phone will turn his shower on in the morning.
Oh, yes.
Because yours like,
don't even suggest it. So what for you? All right, ladies.
Has everybody had a chance to look at the report?
I have not looked at it.
Okay.
Everybody's had a link to it for quite some time.
Oh,
okay.
Right.
So I go through the outside and these pages here where I've got like the little numbers picked out, like saying these are the different elements I'm trying to look for. And then I get a little more from you guys as to go ahead with the process. Then I come out And I try to take as small of a sample as possible. I'm looking at it under a microscope. I don't need to have like a huge chunk of wood, so about the size of like a small fingernail, and get it all the way down to the substrate. So that means I am digging into the wood a little bit, so that you know that you've got it all the way to the basest layers. It works best, obviously, when there's not been replacement pieces, which I think we found some pieces of the trim of the gingerbread, the barge board, there's lots of different terms for it, that have been replaced over the years, or at least stripped down there. So you see that in the report, that you know, there's only about three layers of paint. That's quite an original paint layer. And then I cast it in a colorless resin, which is something a little different than I do, but I take the little paint sample and stick it in there, and then I use a series of grinding pads, and I grind it down to about 6,000 grit. So there's, this is a 41, which is one that is
passing around. This is so good.
So I try to polish the edge as much as possible so you can really see a smooth edge without like a really gritty appearance to it. So when the light hits it, it's actually like what you'd be looking at if you're looking at the side of it. And then I use 6,500K lights on my microscope, so it's supposed to be daylight replicating, kind of get like the most exact color match as possible. And then the fun part is this book, which is the Munsell system, which is how I was taught in grad school. And it's basically a color system that has been established for well over 100 years, and the colors are guaranteed to look the exact same here as they did 100 years ago.
Yeah.
Which is why when I specify this, theoretically in 100 years, if somebody says like it's a 5R54, it's going to look exactly like that no matter what. So this book is basically just tons and tons of paint chips arranged in a way where it goes from, you know, red to yellow with red to yellow with blue, green, green goes in more of a blue. And so you're just spending time flipping through the pages trying to find that one paint chip that exactly matches it under the microscope. So it's very like a very hands-on way of matching paint colors. And I'll go through that with it zoomed in on the layers and just kind of go down through it layer by layer.
Oh, that's fun. Well, it does look up.
You got an image anyway.
Yeah. Dying computer.
We all have this.
What did you study in college to learn this?
Undergraduate was anthropology, which is such a useful career for finding a job. master's degree in historic restoration from the University of Vermont in 2005. And so there was a class on this, and then it's basically become like, you know, you take that class and you just keep doing it, and eventually you get better at it. There's not a lot of really great classes out there. Like if you want to go out and say, like, I'd like to learn how to do paint analysis, it's either a full-on master's program or art conservation. You'll see a lot of people doing stuff like this with the fine arts, but obviously that's even more detailed. They're using like scanning electron microscopes and x-ray fluorescence and stuff like that. Since we're just worried about paint colors here, there's no need to charge like thousands of dollars a sample.
Which we appreciate.
Yeah. There are folks that do that, but again, if you're just looking for the colors, and if it has lead paint or not, I can do that pretty easily. And then there's like a whole, like I say, another level of education if you want to get to.
Okay.
Like, you know, what exact element was used to create this color? Was it a, you know, something that was brought from a certain part of the country, that sort of thing? And it's great, but it's like, to what extent do you really want to know that?
How in depth do you really want to go?
Yeah.
As far as the fingers.
Right. And I think we saw, I had to reread my report real quick because it's been a little bit of time, but there was that early period, the house was built in 1892, and you guys can certainly correct me because you guys have been
here. 1892.
Yeah.
Yeah, I said
1982.
It sounded like from here.
The front section of the house there, that was not this block here, right? That was just that section up there. And it looks like they had a bit more, of course, I think, printed out in black and white, but a bit more of a brownish color. It seems like I actually pulled something up now. Whatever it is, only mirroring that. This way. It's not showing me.
If you pull up what's on your flash drive on your screen, it'll show up there.
Yeah, my screen shows nothing here. It's a black blue screen. And this is this. I'm not sure exactly how to put this.
Yeah, see, I don't know what's going on
with your screens. So there was the base couple layers. I think we saw in a few of the samples that it was just a couple layers of brown. And it was mostly a monochromatic scheme at that time. And then there was like a black layer, which I'm presuming was probably a primer because it was very thin. And then you start seeing the colors that were, you know, from the later on years. It's more of like a orange and off orange, brown and off orange, something like that.
Yeah.
So this color seemed like they made any sense to you guys, or was that weird?
This was interesting.
Yeah.
Because given where we're at today, so I think a curious thing would be kind of from that time period of the addition in 1906. I think it'd be interesting to know what kind of coloring it was that in that year.
Right.
Time period. Because that's really kind of the focus to get back to in discussions with Anne McLeod. The objective for the grant was to bring the paint color back to a significant period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And that significant period of time was when the Callahans did this massive addition to the home. So I think that is something that would be really interesting to show everyone, what color?
Mm-hmm.
That
was
time
range.
It's
because
it's windows,
so I don't know what to do.
Okay. Sorry about that.
I
have
no idea. It's
looking for another
because of how the grant's written and because of what we're doing with the windows and everything else. We're trying to keep it at a certain time period, and I think that's kind of where we're at. So it sounds to me with the brown, it's what they could get, and that's what they used. And again, that was before the addition and everything was put on, and that was the original owners. So,
but they gave it to us in 1938. So really, we could look at any of the colors between 1906 and 1938, and they were all picked out by the Callahans. You know, so any one of those, if we like, would be better than
the original.
Yeah, they're still. I mean, the Callahans put them on there, so they had some say in it. It's not like the city came in and painted it that color. So,
but the focus was to go to a significant period of time. And that was something that Anne McLeod was very specific about.
But it could be 1938.
Yeah, that's
a sound. We picked 1906.
And plus, the Callahans may not have liked that color. That's why they repainted
it.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was
their house.
It was their house.
Yeah.
When they did the addition, of course, then they uniformed everything.
Sure.
And I think that is a significant period of time that we're looking
we can leave it open for
we certainly can leave it open.
Yeah.
But I think
that's
the objective
smart thing.
But I think we need to decide if we like the color.
Right.
Well, and if it will wear well.
Yeah.
If it truly is a really dark color,
mm-hmm.
that may not be a good choice in the interest of not painting every 2 years or 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And
we need to think about that, please.
Yeah.
A little
yeah.
bit.
And in that circumstance, I think it would be helpful to know options of colors through the years, and then we can present them to Anne and say, what do you suggest? Because I really want to do the right thing by History Colorado,
mm-hmm.
and what would be acceptable to them. So,
and the recommendations, I think we take it all in. I agree, we don't limit ourselves, but I also know paint is so much better than it used to be, and even if we go with a dark color, I have a dark forest green that's lasted forever
mm-hmm.
on my underneath. It just depends on where it is and what type of paper you're using.
Yep.
So, again, I think it's open for discussion, and we just keep it as open as possible. And then
we're certainly not going to need to make a choice anytime soon because they're not going to paint till it's warm enough to paint.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
What?
Yeah, it has to be at least 50 degrees.
I want them out there painting in the freezing cold, mm-hmm. having it bubble because it's frozen.
Mm-hmm.
So
I was just picking these guys out. So I think the front porch up there, its final form is the 1904, 1906. Okay. Now that one there was a white base layer, which is pretty common for a primer. It wasn't super thick. And then you had like this orange and brown sort of color scheme, which is what the rest of the house was. Basically at that time. So it looked like that was like all part of the same color scheme at 1900. This is the 1906, at least at that point from 1892. This is the oldest color scheme, which is just like this, that's like that lightish brown.
This is kind of the original.
Yeah, I didn't see like a lot of variation of colors. So I think that was like all the trims, all the sort of brownish color.
That's
and then they went to this.
I have to say.
like base, and this would be like the brighter color is the highlights essentially.
Yeah.
So then you got that scheme going on. It's basically for everything else.
The body and then like true.
Correct, yeah.
Wow.
So body is the lighter color, true is the dark.
I also think we have to take in mind, you know, the how easy it was to get paint. What kind of paint colors could you get?
Right.
In this area.
And they were using the lines and stuff.
Yeah.
Stuff.
I think that's true. Yeah.
To me, it's just
they
so
the same
flower band years.
This is history.
It is interesting.
Yes. History.
It is, yeah.
I wish I had my
little mouse away from the
desktop. So just to check the color.
Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah,
you guys all familiar with the Taper Opera House of the Leadville?
Yes.
So I did an exterior analysis there too, and the Taper's owned it only for a short period of time, maybe 4 or 5 years, and then I sold it to someone else. What we found there, pretty similar to the colors you got here, is that the base layers were all very like leathery browny colors, which is really surprising because it's all been red and green for so long.
Right.
And the prevailing idea at the time was that the Tabers were trying to make Leadville a more like sophisticated, high-end place.
Right.
It was more of like a mining town. And so the browner colors were supposed to simulate stone to make it look like it was this monumental building that was supposed to be it's an opera house, so you're supposed to go there for culture and enlightenment. And that lasts for about 5 years. And I'm like, red and green.
Yes.
It's
going to
be bright here.
Colors, anything.
Yeah. Yeah. So that leads to like the interesting philosophical debate. Do you go back to what the original colors were, even though they were only there for 5 years? Or do you go for what people have known to the over 100 years, which is like the red and green
right.
look?
Right.
And I believe they're going for the red and green look. Because
okay.
I recall last time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think they haven't changed.
Yeah, so these aren't terribly unfamiliar colors to me in terms of like the scheme for the time. Well, I've been trying to be like, this is the refined house. This is no garish.
Right, this is not.
And it's got some details that we all like, you know, that was popular at the time, but it's a bit more muted because we're a very fancy family.
They're trying to be sophisticated.
Do you want to turn it off again?
Sure.
I think that's the case. They're trying to go for sophisticated.
I just don't want to run your flash
drive. I mean, every time we researched about them, and it's all about being modern and sophisticated.
You almost heard it.
Oh, yeah.
The
only the best. Only the best.
The It family, you know?
Especially in the 1906, well, 1897 period, that was coming towards the end of the Queen Anne Romantic sort of perpetual style. So it might have been like, wow, we want to distinguish ourselves from some of the other stuff that's been going on for the last 20, 30 years.
Because it wasn't real gingerbready, like,
right.
You know, the early Victorian.
Not a lot of scroll work, more just the implied
chevrons
are just the bars and bars and stars.
Yeah, they didn't have the gold walls like Molly Brown House, I guess, did that.
Right.
If you think about it, it might have also, with it being more muted colors, they have the windows and the decoration of the windows.
That's true.
And the
accents. So beautiful, leaded windows.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I assume you guys are trying to do the color scheme of like when the house was in its final form from that point forward.
At least 1906, yeah.
Yeah, the significant period of time we've identified is the 1906 time range because of the fact that that's when the Callahans did this addition to the house. So, and that's when everything would have become very uniform. And
the exterior.
Yes.
Interior to the better to use yourself.
Yes.
Interior
finishes,
that's all
in
the every 10 years or so, you got like a whole new scheme.
Yeah,
this used to be two rooms here.
Yeah.
You can see where it was
yeah.
the original. And this is the new part that was in this section here. It was, you know, the son's bedroom, correct, over here?
Correct.
And, and Allison's.
It's going to be a room.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, the wall was removed shortly after it was gifted in 1938 so that they could have a larger meeting room.
And then there's a parquet with flooring, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Borders.
And there's a hallway here.
Yeah, because there's a door on it.
Yeah.
And there's a
still thinking.
Yeah, he has pictures of
I've seen the floor underneath the
flooring.
Which would make sense because then this would be the hall.
Yeah. So there's two strips of parquet on either side of that door.
Sure, there's not on this wall.
So they took out, there must have been like, they could have had two of these. Supporting. Well, maybe this was a supporting
this
wall.
This was,
I think that's
this was the back wall.
That's
a weight bearing wall.
This is the original weight bearing wall of the back.
The back of the house.
And so this would have just been a false wall of some kind. Just to create that. But that makes perfect sense that with, if you consider lack of lighting and having that, there it is, and south facing. That would be right along. Actually, really pretty light into the hall.
Like
to protect you from problems. It's restarting again.
The next step, though, was real interesting. Right. It's very earth tones for a long time, and then those candy colors, you know, and then the strong purple, all the real deep things.
It's a really interesting, happens all the time, we go from red to green, green to red, and I've seen so many different paint samples, especially from this area,
that Christmas ribbon seems. But the red and green seems like But yes, the people are also
That makes us think.
Come over and have some coffee.
Okie dokie.
This color, this color.
All right, so for the body,
Could you tell everybody what you were just telling Maureen about the Queen and Victorian?
So the balcony of the wall house, like this little balcony over here.
Victorian stuff was
which was on the wall, so they went from
in
like
very
this
muted
color
tones and earth tones, like this terracotta stone, and then they would trim it out similarly in the same family. So that was kind of surprising, but it's not surprising because it goes with that whole thing. And you know, the wood clapboard kind of gingerbread houses, you know, with the real filigree gingerbread stuff, they were the ones that went into those bright purples and pinks and, you know, the bright colors and made them look like little toy houses, I guess.
But a stone
house or a brick house was a little bit more sophisticated.
So what they did from, you know, the original to the 1906 to the, kind of the next significant color
iteration,
it went to this green.
Oh, that's pretty.
Going from the night, kind of a.
So which is the body and which is the trim?
So these are the shingles on this little balcony over here. corner of Yale.
Oh, okay.
So here's the wood of the shingles here, so you can see all the cells of the wood.
Sure.
And you had a couple of years maybe of that orange, then a couple of years of that light green and white the rest of the time. And 1978, it's right around here somewhere. That's about the best I could do in terms of like what time frame that happened in, because of the test positive for lead. Lead was outlawed in 1978 for use of paint, so it's test positive theoretically. It's 1978.
Could you pass the other color?
The original, the, yes, for the, no, 19, the original
green.
The
green.
The one that goes with the green.
It doesn't go with the green. That's the significant color change. This is original, perhaps. This is 1906.
Okay, and that's the shingle.
And that's, and the next mass significant color change, these are shingle also. That's the next significant color change, what it went from to.
So Phil, but there wasn't a different trim color?
Let's see, the trim color, this would be on the shingles over here, so we're kind of what was around the shingles.
Yeah. Good morning, Phil.
Morning, Ben.
The lower trim below shingles. Here would be 15. We had lights at the bottom, so.
This green was wonderful, by the way.
Orange and green. So it looks like
so
they kind
fun.
Of followed the same
yeah.
path.
Yeah,
it
was fun.
Fun.
That great.
It was so much fun.
Does it look like he needs coffee?
Shannon was teasing about getting up into the
5G
flame. Mm-hmm. And he said, I'll never get out. And then poured to the waters and got up there. And the kids were really nervous about getting them.
So the trim below on the L balcony over here, that's the shingle color you got there. This is the trim below the shingles. So they went with dark green and light green to kind of differentiate.
So the body of the house was the lighter green and the trim was the darker green?
The body of the shingles.
I'm not sure what you're referring to.
The shingles on the outside, this balcony here.
Okay,
this
just
the
scalp
pieces. Right.
Mm-hmm.
They were the lighter green. So that and
right, so it looks like they went from like a light orange to a brighter orange originally in 1906 or so, and they went from like a light green as the body and the darker green as the highlight.
Okay. Yeah. That was what I was trying to ask.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there a way to tell the age or like the,
you know? See, that's the trick. If it tests positive for lead, I know it's 1978 or before, but that's about it.
Oh, okay, so you can't like, you can just tell by the layers.
Right, and they didn't always use lead, so sometimes in the burial,
right.
Test clean, and it's like, oh, people,
you know. Yes, they don't
test my
house. Right.
Yeah.
But does the condition of the paint,
and that's a contrast with the
if it's super exposed, it might not even be there, but it's really heavily elevated, then I know it's
going
to be a lot. It's going to be my paints that are really heavily elevated
as
well. It's a little bit more difficult. That's when things like the scanning electron microscopy can come in and
that's
give you a better idea of like exactly
yeah.
what elements
you
were used to create this.
That's
and a better idea
yeah.
of something well, that you can use linseed oil at this point forward. So,
yeah.
Yeah, we do.
So did you find four layers of dark?
So let's be on the shingles. There's at least 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14.
Oh!
Because you have to paint
your
own
clothes.
They're
beautiful.
Yeah.
But
so
why do they know?
Buff
down.
They
get
scraped
up
because
I'm
happy too.
They hardly ever clean it all. Yeah, so you can see like the layers of dirt. Just like,
well, they just go over the top of it.
They just go over the top of the dirt, yeah.
They didn't have power washers or what?
In theory, you're supposed to clean everything off and get it ready for paint, but typically it's just a soft.
Oh boy, I don't
remember
if you want
it.
I
know.
Like those
questions
against white.
I just want to take a picture so I can remember what we talk about.
Yeah.
Sorry for my butt in your face.
Here, let's put it on the white so you can get a really good
yeah. It's white.
You
can
do it, Jim.
But I
don't
watch
much
on the table.
So you can order drawdowns from the Munsell company, which is basically just a 8.5 by 11 sheet of that one color. It's like $30 or $40 per sheet. But it's, you know, it's one of those like guaranteed shelf stable images. So if you want to, you can walk around the sheet.
They change every time they load new software. My camera changes.
So I've heard that
yeah,
customer service has been difficult lately.
Yeah, it's
hard
times.
So that's why I provide the here's the closest available commercial match paint. If you want, just go get a good drawing.
Okay.
depends on if you want to be like 100% exact. You have to basically contact me and I can bring that paint chip to you and pick up your paint.
Thank you, sorry.
On your foot.
This looks about to make $100, so it's not the cheapest thing in the world.
Hey, I thought so too.
Around $2,500.
Investment in your expertise, right?
Yeah. I pulled up this one. So this is the trim on this battery over here, below the shingles. So we had the orangey color that we talked about, that's the original. Then they had a bright red at some point. And they had the green that we were just talking about, and they had the green scheme going on. And then they had like a pinky color and a less pinky color, and then orange, and then dark brown. And so you can see they really went through a lot of fluctuations here, but I can't really tell you like 100% this color layer matches up with this other color layer from a different sample. You know, you can count layers, but if they painted one thing and they didn't paint the other thing, then all of a sudden the counts are off.
I like that chip display. It gets a lot easier to see than the sideways one.
Yeah.
Is that cut at an angle? Is that
right, so here it's like you flick in the flat paint like this, it's like you put it sideways and chopped it in half. Side angle. So here's the cells of the wood. This is the first layer of paint as it soaks into the wood.
Out of pure curiosity, what would the red be? Could you show us a chip?
Sure.
The red that looks pink?
Which red?
No,
it's one that's painted a bright red.
Like it was painted for Christmas or something.
Yeah.
I'm just seeing that really thick layer that looks pink. That's all
there
pink.
Is a little
those are all pink.
Red
yeah.
One.
Yeah.
Is
the
green?
Yeah, I see
it.
It's barely under.
Yeah, it's just a very
maybe they put that on and said, oh no.
That's exactly it. It's like, what were we thinking?
Yeah.
I painted the whole interior of my first house that we built the wrong color and walked into my house and went,
it's pretty.
Not the good news is you can use it as an eggshell.
See,
so it might be misinterpretation of my eye. That might be that paint layer survived better when the others, had more time in the sun.
So it's more rust.
It's not that big exposure.
It's more rust. It's not red.
Theoretically, since we're looking at the side, the exposed layer would be on top, and it shouldn't really affect my.
So it's another shade of rust.
Use it a little bit often. If they're being custom blended, which they probably shouldn't be, but it's that time here.
Yeah, that
so since the green is thicker, I'm assuming they kept the green and put more layers in
so
it
goes
in some sense.
Yeah, it was so thin, it might look like that.
The green is pretty thick, it might not really
close.
So
it's
a little
bit of
rust.
Yeah,
that's true.
Can I ask you a question on, since the green layer is so much thicker than the red that's directly under it, would that indicate that the green might have been there and they liked it so they painted it again? Is that why it's thicker?
That could be. It could be the person did the red layer, just gave it one coat and they called it good. And it could be they did a proper job on the green. It could also mean that they went back and did it a couple times. Sometimes you can see a dirt layer. It's like I said, they typically don't clean the paint as well as they should. So sometimes you can see a little layer in there. I can try to pull it back up again, but on my microscope so I can see it. The thicker the layer usually means more than one coat. Except for something like this, where you can tell it was just kind of slopped on there heavily.
Right.
Or there's a drip and it's settled there. This is a very, very tiny little section of the paint, but that one little drip could be quite large on the screen.
That's really cool.
It is. It's so interesting.
The acrylic makes it a lot easier. Like when I was taught in grad school, they used to set, melt some wax and set your sample in there and try using a razor blade to scrape it relatively across the edge to see if you can get any. I was like, I can't really see too well. And especially on a microscope, your depth of field is very precise. It has to be going up and down all the time to see if you can see all the different layers. But with this, I just kind of grind it flat, polish it down to about 6,000 grit.
Nice.
Pretty clean. You can still see little ridges here on the, on the microscope, but that's probably 250 magnification, so.
Wow. And that's the dark green, right?
Darkest green we've got.
The dark one. Yeah. What does the lighter green look like in the samples?
You mean this one all the way up here?
For the one that went
with the dark one green. That you thought went with the dark green.
Oh, it's, do that right, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's these two greens.
What's your question? I just wanted to see the chip for the other color of green.
This is the one, this is the lighter green that's shown up around the house during that time period, so it would be those two greens.
Do you have the chip, do you have the chip though? Can you show me the picture?
The picture that she's like, you have the image.
Right. For which particular sample is?
For the lighter green.
Is there a pink chip in it or something?
Sure.
If you've had any.
Let me pull up 19, should have. Sorry, I wasn't really understanding the question.
That's okay.
This is the red one, so the teeny tiny red one.
I figured it was from the side, yeah, it's like, oh man.
Yeah.
Where's the lighter green, right above the orange?
Oh, okay, yeah, there it is.
But, you know, as you can tell, not a huge amount of time was spent on these reds and greens. The majority of time is whites. And by the way, some of these yellows, most of the binders back in the day were linseed oil. And over time, linseed oil yellows, even if it's not exposed to the sun. So this might have been a little bit brighter, but they weren't painting everything off white. It might have been brighter white, it's just simply aged to yellow over time.
Yeah.
It would be nice to know, like, from 1906, like, to make it 4 years, 5 years. Usually, cycle for paint is about every 5 years. So you could probably say 1911 or so, but. Is there anything major happening with the family?
We have no idea.
Yeah, unfortunately, because that's when they were starting to get their vehicles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, 1902, right? Yeah. His first run.
There was a lot of stuff going on. Pre-World War I.
I was just going to say that you saw more arts and crafts was coming out.
Yeah, definitely.
So I'm trying to think if there's anything that's kind of going to make them feel like they're going to pull back the colors of this house to look more like white, just to be more in style. So they might say some return to that brighter color, brighter whites, just to kind of fit in a little bit more.
It's happening after
1905.
That's a, that's in the teens, probably some shoes. So most of these letters were all solid.
Usually these first, especially the more yellow ones, would be striking positive for lead. Okay. I use sodium sulfide and I put that on the chip, and if it hits lead, it turns out that layer block. So it happens pretty rapidly too. So.
If you look at the report, it by layer it said whether or not it was lead paint or not.
Right.
Yeah.
Just for purposes of
The latest could be 1970. Well, it depends. Like 1978 is when it was off wall. But a lot of people want to go out and stockpile because they like lead based paint, so it could have been used for many years in the future. For as long as the paint's good for it. So
it's
circa 1978.
Yeah. That's the purpose of
last.
But they would like it better.
I think it just needed spreads and things.
So that
they put it in gas or just
trying to get
for leaded gas.
Yeah, it's pretty difficult. I mean, maybe the first layer is basically the easiest to kind of say, like, you know, it seems like it's actually historic. And 1978 and everything else in between is kind of like somewhere between, you know, creation and 1978.
Right.
For the purposes of the recording, can we ask one question at a time and get an answer instead of having sidebar conversations, because the recording is just going to be all this babble. Mm-hmm. So, did you have another question, Karen?
Is there any, I think this answers it, because of all the kind of yellow and white, but is there any other significant color after the greens?
I think the most significant color schemes are going to be the orangey brownie color scheme and then the green color scheme. I'm just going to flip through real quick here, but there's whites, but I mean, honestly, whites can be used by anything. I'm seeing lots of orangey brownie and greens as the initial colors. Yeah.
And Connie, you said that the brown, orangey, green, their browns and stuff were pretty typical of the way
they painted
the Victorians.
Right, I would not be surprised to see those colors on the house.
Yeah.
Can they take a black and white picture from, what's one of the early pictures we have of the house in the 1980s?
We don't know.
Can the computer then buy the black and white image, can they generate the actual colors?
They can guess, but you have to have a reference color typically. Like, here's something that's still on the house that we know the color of, so you set the color to that, and then try to reference all the different grays based off of that color.
Oh, okay, I didn't know if they had a way.
But it's kind of a guess, but yeah.
It made me wonder though, you know, the stationery that Tom used with his thank you letter, and he was at 39, 38, 39. What, how is the house trimmed in that picture?
It doesn't show the house, it shows the garden.
Oh, that's just
how the garden.
It's just the garden and the gate.
It just shows the garden.
I was thinking it had a little bit of the house.
No, it's literally pointed out towards the garden.
Oh, I guess from a black and white, you could tell if it was a dark.
Well, see, that's a color.
Well, that was why I was asking.
I remember a piece of the house you knew that.
Yeah.
The background, it's a car. Yeah. So you basically were looking at the garden from the south and looking north at my books and stuff. So I did not bring that with me, but I did.
Well, that's this picture.
Yeah, it's right here. Yeah. You can pass it around. Yeah. There's no, the house isn't in it.
Yeah, the house posture. I thought with computer technology they could pull up the colors if they were, but I guess not.
Yeah, the cinematographer. Then he didn't take pictures of the house.
Yeah. Unless they take pictures.
But see, what you're thinking is the house is a different
dark. Yeah,
that's
right.
Well, I agree with
that.
Yeah,
that's what
she
said.
That red is what you're saying here.
Okay.
I was just sorry.
All the pictures from all black and white.
It's not.
So
that's
quite
a twister.
That's I thought.
That is the darkest
one. And that was paired up with the darkest.
You want to find the light.
There are obviously highlighting on certain elements and lighter colors and other elements.
Right. It does have a house, but it's not.
My
visual is just so if there's a house there, but it's not the case.
It's not the house. It's the house across the third row.
Yes.
So this is the carriage barn, the barge board bullseye that I'm okay, that looks like a little bullseye. And I'm seeing the same colors on the carriage house as the 1906
carriage house.
And it's got the green in there again, too.
That's
not
the
green.
Can we call that orange or call that brown?
Oh,
orange.
Yeah,
so that's like the orange scheme was on that carriage barn at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
10 minutes later.
Which they were being uniform.
Yes, they were. They were.
In one place I know it hadn't been painted much as of 1976.
Basically, do they do the orange or scheme and then say they didn't like it and switch over to the green, but then they switch again pretty quickly after that as well.
Right.
So you can also have the painter mock it up and take one and be like, we like this one better. Here's the reason why we like it better.
Exactly. Here's a photograph of black and white at the waffle breakfast, but it's got a good example
contrast.
Of the contrast of the trim. It's very definite contrast, dark and white, right there.
Yeah. I think you get that kind of contrast with the colors we've got here too, but it's not, can't quite say that's
which one it is.
Yeah, which one it is. Yeah.
Yeah. And so if you have to pull that up. What color is that?
Wrong.
I think the whole point of this is kind of, you want to pass it around, please?
Yeah,
I'll pass it around that way. Hold on to it.
Because there's stuff in it. It's kind of stuff.
That's
all my stuff.
Really, and it's got the covers too, which are very cool. I think it's important that we do the storage, but we also need to make sure that it's for today too.
The stone is. Yeah, if the computer knows the color of the stone, which hasn't changed, couldn't they use that as a base color?
Right, that's what I was.
That would go back to the reds.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they would pick up the different colors, you would say.
Yeah.
Computers are smarter than us.
Sometimes. Programmers are smart.
Yeah, because they should get the color of the brick right, I would think everything else is smarter than us.
That they can do that with color.
No.
How they colorize movies now.
That's a brand new question to hear.
That's a little fancy.
It's a little bit more yellow.
But they have.
Colors. Well, we should move this along.
So what are we talking about now?
What I asked Bill is it for the whites, obviously white and varying and whites. What is the closest white that would be appropriate to kind of identify with? In the event that if we went, you know, with greens and wanted a third color, that would be white, which white would that be?
So in other words, if we wanted to like do the bullseyes, do the trim in a dark green and do something different, well, although we could pull out the reds too, yeah. Or the oranges.
Yes, but I just, since we've got those here and identified, I'm sorry.
You know, and it would.
I just thought it would be appropriate to find out white, since we've got the 10 colors.
Right.
What would be an appropriate white if we wanted to include?
You said it's a trim color or a detail color, right?
Yeah. So this is the shade, or the next shade layer, the white. So this is probably, you know, the aged and CLL kind of disturbing this. This is probably about as close as.
So what he's saying is based on what he found on this kind of more yellowy white is what showed up, but that could be due to age. And so he's recommending this one as a cleaner white, more like what would have been used. So
Phil, can you, when you get home, can you put those on a sheet of paper and write down the actual colors alongside them so that when we get to the point where we're, well, but that's not going to help us mix paint. So you have the formulas for the paint colors, is that correct?
Yes.
To get those colors? Can you just give us a report on that? We don't need to do it today.
I can just send you a picture of the
backs
and then that makes it easy for you.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think I gave the color orange, but I can certainly do the same with the green.
And the white, please.
And the white, yep.
And then would you pass that around so everybody can see it?
Kathy, when did you send his report?
I sent it as a link in one of the manager's reports, and I honestly don't know, but I can resend the link. Would you like me to do that?
Please.
Yeah, I don't know. Right, because I'm
it's in the manager's report. It was in a report.
I probably missed it then.
I missed it too.
Okay.
Yeah. It was on the
part.
That's fine. I'll just resend it.
So at this point, does anybody else have any more questions at this point in regards to the presentation?
I have one question. Did you get your check?
Very sure.
Good. Thank you.
That's a big one. That's a big one.
Yeah.
This is fascinating.
Yes.
Do you have any questions for us?
I don't think so. So you've got the orange colors laid out here, a match at least to a commercial color. But I can also give you the RGB code, the CMYK code. You can take all those things to it.
Well, the paint's going to be Sherwin-Williams, probably.
Sherwin-Williams, okay.
So if you could give us the codes for that, that would be amazing. And it would move us one step closer to having appropriate information for the contractor.
I can find the closest currently available match. If you'd like, I can always bring these samples by at some point, too. You can just take them to Sherwin-Williams and say, make me a custom match that completely matches this.
That's
right.
Yeah.
It's pretty true, which is, but...
Yes.
Yeah. But I've had to do that on several occasions because people keep having a hard time finding
The right contractor that's not in the college, so I put it in an envelope and send it to them.
It's the shadow from the camera.
Oh, God.
That's the problem.
You hold the camera over it, then you can't see their real colors.
And not bug you, that would be great.
If we could get it done, we would just do it one shot. Kathy, do you think that would be the best option for you, is if he brought the chips, we took them, and then we had a match right off the bat, rather, because he's saying that it's going back and forth a lot on those colors?
Let's just discuss how we're going to do it once we get to that point. We're certainly not there yet.
Yep.
So you and I can powwow about how to handle it.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
And no matter what, they're not going to be exact, right? We'll get close, but
yeah.
They're not going to be
exact. Well, they don't have the lead in them, so there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And honestly, once they're on the house, nobody's going to bring that chip and go like this.
Oh,
yeah.
They'll never know how to open
it. You never know.
Well, you guys might.
I'm not going to.
I won't.
I think having chips would be most accurate.
That's the most accurate way to do it. Provide the closest commercial match in case people don't feel like going to the house and they just kind of want to get close. But
and this is going from oldest
to
yeah,
yes.
Orange is the oldest.
Okay,
yeah.
And I think the bottom line is all about art in showing to historic Colorado that we're doing it.
I'll have a discussion with her about it.
So we're going to get the time to do that, and not to be rude, but we're going to move on.
Yeah.
To this, and thank you both.
Thanks for having me on. So, if you have any other questions, feel free to give me a call.
No problem.
And like I said, if you have any other questions that pop up as you go along, just let me know.
So, we're going on to the managers, the house managers report, and Kathy, when you're ready.
It was a busy month. We had 3 revenue events, which is an unusual number of revenue events for November. They all went quite well. It was, we did a bunch of weddings, 2 weddings and a birthday party. And I gotta shut this down so that he can have his black shirt back. So, it's done. It's done. So it was a busy month. We're also doing a lot of looky-loos for events for next year. Nothing really, it was just busy. Nothing noteworthy. Club renewal. The only thing I didn't put in the report is club renewals are chugging along. So, and so far as I know, all of our current clubs are renewing.
Good. So.
Oh, one last question. Do you want all the paint chip samples so that in the future, if you have somebody else that wants to research them, they're already very cased in resin and aren't going to join?
Yes,
right?
Please.
And here's the sample, remainder of the samples that haven't cased in resin, but they're all labeled, so it's kind of a mixed box. But there you go, there's all your
thank
samples.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's
it.
I guess the only other thing I'd mention is we're up to 16. Revenue events for next year, which is probably the most I've ever had going into the new year.
Oh, wow.
So I think that's, I did it again. I think that's very encouraging for next year.
Okay. People are feeling like they can really plan.
Well, and the other comment I would have is, for the most part, it seems like people are reducing the sizes of their weddings in particular, and going for more meaningful, smaller events.
Sure.
Which is really good for us, So our sweet spot, I think, is 75 and under. Mm-hmm. And I also picked up another March wedding, another indoor wedding. Thank you, Phil.
Thank you, Phil. Great, so interesting.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
So it's just chugging along.
Great.
Lots and lots of interest.
Is there anything particular? Did everybody have, first of all, did everybody have a chance to read the report? Do you have any questions? Kathy?
I just want to know how that wedding went when it was such a cold day.
We did it all inside, and it was beautiful. It was, interestingly enough, it was probably one of the most meaningful
vow exchanges I've ever seen.
Wow.
They were so in love and so sincere, and they wrote beautiful vows. She actually has a background in creative writing, and their vows were gorgeous.
Yeah.
So we moved it. Mom walked in the door, and she said, she looked at them, and she said, "I hope we're doing this all inside." So we did it all inside.
Well, I thought about that all day long.
They're
freezing.
No, we did it right there where the screen's at.
Good.
Oh, that's sweet. That's nice.
Yeah.
So it was lovely.
Great.
I have a few questions.
So
the PEO chapter JH Party that's listed here, that looks nice. You have it listed out to the side as a club.
They are a club. They're not a house club.
They're not a house club. Okay. And then the Domino Group, is that a new or returning?
It's the same people on a different day with different members. So the core, the two or three members who formed that club wanted to do it twice a month, but not everybody is signing up for both dates. So I'm treating it like two different clubs, because it's going to be different people on different days.
Okay.
I have to ask, what do they do?
Returning, but a different membership.
Okay.
So it's an expansion / new club.
Okay.
Well, that's good though.
And then the other new club is the Torka Book Club, and they're new.
What does that
acronym stand for? It's the Corvette Club. The Domino Group came from the Corvette Club too.
Oh.
Okay, now back to the Domino Group. What do they do? Play dominoes?
They just play dominoes.
Oh, okay. Mexican train.
Yeah, Mexican train dominoes.
Mexican train.
Mexican train.
Texas 42.
Well, I didn't know they were good. I always played 15. You know,
Kansas train.
Yeah, they have a really good time.
So how many members are in each of those new returning groups? So you've got the Domino Group.
The Domino Group has a membership of about 10. At the moment, I don't know exactly what the second group's going to be because they're still forming and paying dues. So I don't have, it's 7 or 8. And the Torka Book Club is about 8.
Nice.
They're both fairly small, but they're nice sized clubs for us.
Mm-hmm.
And wow. Torka Book Club is meeting on Thursday for the rest of the year, but they're going to start meeting on Tuesdays in 2023.
Then I know they have their club activities, but do they have any philanthropic interest or community?
I don't ask those questions.
And then for the registration for Sand Open House, how many reservations were there? And how many were no-show?
I can tell you that, but I haven't done it yet. We had 232 people come, and we had a few no-shows, but it wasn't very good.
Yeah,
I need to talk to Sam about how she marked up the sheets. So I haven't had a chance to do that.
I think it's neat, though, that we received $185 in donations.
It is.
That evening.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That's amazing.
And we had one little girl try to pluck a $5 bill and take it home. She was kind of sticking out of the slot, and she reached up and she went like this. And she was
holding it in her pocket.
No,
and I'm like,
oh.
Yeah.
And when she asked about
funny.
That, when they take a telly, we had the usual Santa that we normally have here.
We had Santa Pete.
Mm-hmm. We had the original that we've had. We had him at our church on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
But we also had like 150 kids sign up. And then after that, they got to go and shop for their siblings and parents. And then they went to a rally room.
Oh, that's
then they went fun. To, I mean, they went.
That's
yeah,
cool.
They had so organized. It was amazing.
That's
but
great.
He was doing good, you know.
He's doing much smaller events.
Yeah, he's happy because he only had to walk in the door and put his throne there. And,
yep.
Yeah.
Okay, one last thing. So, do either of those clubs have historic significance? I don't know if you know that or not.
No, I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No.
I mean, they're based as a Corvette club.
Yeah.
Yeah, so probably no.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Historic.
It is.
And they're a parade all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then when are the interviews scheduled for the grant?
The interviews have been completed.
Oh, okay. And then are we expecting to have Carrie and Ozzy come back to?
At the moment, there's nothing scheduled.
Can we arrange something since you've got interviews completed? What's the next step?
When there's a decision, if we want them to come back, we can certainly schedule that. We're not anticipating a decision until after the first of the year.
Decision regarding choice of?
Of contractor.
Oh, and is that what we have?
Well, I guess we're still in the manager's report, but we're also doing old business A.
Oh, okay.
Apparently.
Okay.
Well, I'm just on the report, and from what I read, I'll just have those two questions. So contractors will occur at the beginning of the year?
Mm-hmm. After the first of the year. That's what we committed to because of holidays.
Okay. So do we have any more questions or concerns in regards to the House Managers Report?
Just the report, or are we on the
We're on the
energy
report. We're on the report itself. And financials. Honestly, if we could, and the Callahan House annual report is a different.
That's a different subject.
Subject. So, we're just on the report itself, the House Manager's report itself. Do we have any questions on the financials?
What are the November numbers that are listed in the tours open house at Mart Walk on page 2?
I'm sorry, can you show me which page you're looking at?
The Callahan House.
So you're looking at the event breakdown.
Page 2.
The breakdown.
Yeah. What are those numbers, 4 and 10?
If you look at the next sheet under special events, they're all listed. So we did a tour for a birthday party, we did a tour for a graduation, we did a tour for a 2023 welcome party, we did a tour for a choir practice.
So those four consisted of 10 attendees?
Yes.
Okay. All right. And then, since you also added the holiday open house, December 14th, under open houses and tours, can we add Eric Mason's historic walking tours as a separate line item?
So I'll do that for next year.
Yeah.
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 And then my last question was just, again, coming back to our year-to-date revenue versus year-to-date expenses. We have revenues listed as 151 approximately as a change, and then expenses at 128 as a change. And so that gives a balance of about $22,753.50. That is kind of the approximate amount that would be going into the California fund at this time.
Yes, and actually the numbers are much more correct on this sheet, which shows that we're a little under $20,000. And honestly, that's going to go down a little bit because this is a free paycheck month. So my guess is the number is going to be closer to $15,000 or $16,000.
Thank you. It's been a good year. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, we've gone through the financials of the House Manager's Report. In my opinion, the House Manager's Report has been covered. Any other questions? Okay. I need a motion for accepting the House Manager's Report.
Make a motion.
Can I get a second?
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, moving on to old business. The status of the grant, we've kind of covered a lot of the grant issue with some of the questions, but do you have any more of that information that you want to?
Nope. That's pretty much where we're at. The interviews are complete. We're meeting again to talk about scoring, and we probably won't make a decision until after the first of the year.
Okay, is there any way that, because I know these people are very busy, is there any way that we could add them to our the Callahan House Board meeting point, if we could get them on the calendar so these people know that we'd like to see them at some point.
Who's them?
Are you talking about Carrie and Ozzie?
Carrie and Ozzie, yes.
Well, we'll add them when it's appropriate. I mean, when there's news, we'll figure out if it's appropriate to have them in the meeting.
Well, if a decision is going to occur in January, then it would be reasonable to have them either come to the January meeting if it's early enough in January or come to the February meeting.
And that's fine. Let's just see how it chugs along and whether or not we have a decision. And if it seems like it's appropriate, you and I will discuss it and add them to the agenda.
Okay. Moving on to the, we also discussed by going over, I apologize, I'm having a mind fog moment. Anybody else have any questions in regards to the grant? Okay, moving on to old business B, open houses. The Santa open house we discussed in the house manager's report, but I did want to comment quickly that I thought it was a wonderful event. I thought it was really handled quite well and lovely, and it was cold, but I think it went remarkably well, and I do like how it went, but I think for next year, we should take Ann's suggestion and look at putting it possibly in the Otto House and then having the house open here for additional views for a historic tour and decoration thing.
I really have a serious objection to putting it in the Otto House because if the weather is bad, we have no way to make a safe entrance to the Otto House. And we don't have any way to know that until we're close. The driveway is like a slip and slide. So
is it?
It is.
Yeah,
it
the north side is bad. That north side is particularly
it's
bad.
It's really bad. And
it collects water in a really
yeah, I really have an objection to putting it in the outhouse. And I'm sorry, I know that's been your dream. but I really do not want to, I really don't want to commit to that. And I think it's unsafe. And honestly, I think the coordination to get people from the house into Santa becomes way more difficult. I think having a separate open house for just decor is the way to go. And I'm perfectly okay with that.
Okay. I hear your concerns and I appreciate the safety issue. Ideally, in a perfect world, we could just make it so there's no ice anywhere. I don't know how to do that. So
even if we don't have bad weather, if we've had bad weather, it's treacherous.
When it comes to a safety issue, people first.
Yeah,
so
it's not a question first.
Okay. That being said,
but I do have to say that while in Kathy's report it addresses how kids enjoyed the city and that. I also enjoyed learning about the history of the house. I thought they were very receptive and very interested. And, you know, we would tie it in, you know, J.C. Penney and where he got his start and say, guess what? He came to Longmont. Guess what his first business was? And like,
I think my meat market.
Yeah. Did you know? And they just went, ooh, oh, that's interesting. And there were several of them that had really excellent questions.
My point was that the way we've done it, now we have extra open houses, that solves the problem, but basically the Santa was the only open house we'd have in December, and
right.
Only people that got to come were families with kids. We had, you know, we didn't let other people. So But that's why I don't put them over there. And it's like, yeah. But yeah, I can see your point.
Yeah. That, the other thing I think is it was really smooth. People almost didn't have to wait. In fact, some people walked in the door and walked straight up to Santa. The parents were so appreciative.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why we got so many donations, is because it wasn't the usual stand in line for 2 hours to see Santa for 10 seconds.
Right.
And Pete did an amazing job again.
Oh, so he was phenomenal. And the one kid that showed up with a notebook of written questions, oh my gosh, he was just on point. And I'm just like, boy.
There were a couple times I had to walk out of the room so I could laugh.
And he even got the teenagers to smile and be part of
it. And take a picture.
And it was really, again, it was a fabulous event. I just want to comment on how nicely done it was. It was really well done.
And that's in part why I was asking about how many were registered. Did we have open lots? Did we have no shows? Because in your report it says we could have taken a few more on, and that's a great idea.
Well, I will certainly analyze that. I need to talk to Sam about the list. Mm-hmm. And it looked to me like we had a few no shows, but what it looked like to me was people found out about the open house tonight and bailed. Because we had a lot of single adults not show up. So that, and a lot is not a lot, but we had
several,
maybe 10, you know, single adults just not show up. And they may have just said, oh, I'll just go on the 14th. But, so we only had one or two families that didn't show up.
That's helpful to know.
In the broad scheme of things, I still think we did a good range of numbers, and it wasn't 600.
We did more than last year,
so
and it was much smoother.
Yeah, it was very smooth.
Yeah,
it was. It went very smooth. I think this year's was enjoyable.
Well, and Sam, it looked to me like Sam kept track of when people came in, so they got to come up in the order that they came in the door.
Yeah.
So I think that was amazing.
She could come around and ask for certain families.
Yeah, so I think it went really well.
732 at Holiday Lights.
Yeah, well,
732 kids.
Oh, so
we were there.
Same Santa,
yes.
Santa.
And watching it and trying to, you know, it was packed. So
those lines were very, very long.
Yeah. We've got about 20 minutes.
Okay, guys, I will try to move it along as fast as I can. Okay, let's go right on to the house manager's pictures update. Where are we ordering the?
It's ordered.
Oh, cool.
It's not here yet, but it's ordered.
Okay, then that's really all we have to say at that at this moment. Sue Ellen, I hate to
jump. It's done?
It's done. You did.
Wait. It's done. It's completed, and the files have been shared with Kathy. And that was the template with the restored header that was passed around.
Yeah,
and I shared it with the red borders for both letter and
thank you.
So
thank you.
Yep.
Well, okay, moving right along.
Yeah,
guys,
we're
just
right
cruising.
Yes.
Scrapbook.
Well, I'm sorry. Karen and I met on Monday and got a lot done. Got the initial
Karen
one
Cruz.
Started.
Karen Cruz.
Karen Cruz, I'm sorry. Thank you. And looked at some past scrapbooks that were still missing pieces. So I went through it just from the 75th anniversary ice cream social that we did in 13. We hadn't put any of the pictures in. And so I just downloaded a bunch of pictures last night.
I think I have pictures too.
Good.
Well,
so that would be neat.
Just so you know.
I just, you know, just as a sampling, because we, you know, had the automobile and barbershoppers and the ice cream, the council and mayor that were serving the ice cream. So I'll add those to those pictures there. And then we started in on I had to buy a new book because my book was so old that I was going to donate that they don't even make the pages anymore. And so I was like, okay, we're starting over again. So I got a really pretty piece that was with that Callahan house, and we got pages, you know, put in and kind of doodads. and things and left some blank spaces for things, but
he's just gonna do it.
Starting up, yes, I got that printed out and I'll get that.
And I do have a question in regards to the scrapbook.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have pictures like when of us decorating the tree and stuff last year?
I've been taking pictures. Did you take some?
Mm-hmm.
Those are the kind of things that would be great to add.
I think I sent them to everybody in the email last year.
Yeah, you did.
Did you? But I can send it again.
Yeah, I can look on my email.
Yeah, if you have an old email. But otherwise, I'll
save all of that.
So if anybody has pictures or anything that they could share and share with Connie, that would be amazing.
Well, Connie's leading.
I'll tell you
what.
Yeah,
so
I'll give you a little heads up. If you don't mind sharing them with me, I would love that. I'm hoping that I'd like to kind of pick up
the ball.
Okay. And go with it. Do you want to
take
a look at that or a little bit
later?
Yeah, we can pass it around.
Yeah,
you know,
while
we have
our scrapbooks. Okay, well, in between everything, maybe we can look at that in
between our. Can I see a show of hands of who still has scrapbooks?
I have them all.
You have them all. I would really love for them to come back to the house at some point.
I know.
I think
that they should also. Mm-hmm. Right now they are safe. I have a fire safe that they are in.
Okay.
So
I just want to make sure
they
weren't scattered all over.
No.
Yeah.
I have them all. They are safe and I plan to pick up where she left off.
Perfect.
Get everything done. Get these.
I still have some stuff in the scrapbook box, so just remind me and I'll get them to paper clippings or, you know, newspapers and stuff.
Wonderful.
Thank you. That's exactly what I was.
And I have lots of pictures, so if there's something specific that you'd like picture, like the 75th anniversary, I have pictures. Yes, we actually had a photographer that day.
Wonderful. Yeah. So that's exactly.
You want me to get those to you?
That would be wonderful. Thank you.
I'll just put them on a flash drive.
Okay. Moving on. Connie, did you hear? I'm not trying to shorten this, but I know we're on a time thing. Is there anything else you wanted to add? No. Okay, Callahan House Advisory Board Annual Report to the City. We are working on that still. What's here is still a rough draft.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's pretty close to a
it's still a rough draft. And so this isn't ready to be voted on by the board yet.
So we need to probably plan.
I'm not sure what else you want to do to it.
I think we should meet and talk about it, you know, what exactly we want to add into it, make sure that we've got the, our mission statement, just simple cleaning up, I think, basically.
Well, I did
final numbers for 2022.
Yeah, and I gave it all to Kathy, so she's been through it to refine it and make sure things were accurate to what she knows about the house.
So the
only thing we don't have are, like you said, the year-end.
Right, and
kind of financial information.
It wasn't clear to me what you wanted for the financial year-end.
Yeah. Well, in past reports, it's been earned rental revenue. And so I made a little note there.
Yeah,
then there are dates that I would suggest be, or years in particular, that I would suggest be included. I went through and looking through past annual reports, and just taking note of, okay, these are things that they pay attention to that we do need to be consistent with.
And
I made those notes, but I think that we do need to have yet another meeting that would include everyone who's interested to be able to bring with them any additions or changes or whatever.
One of the big ones that I saw is missing was the clubs.
Yeah, the ladies' clubs on the list and events.
So again, there's just simple little things that just cleaning, finalizing.
Well, and the number we can certainly put rental revenue in there, but I don't think that number really adequately reflects anything because there's also matching expenses that go with that. So we could put rental revenue, but I also think the dollars added to the fund might be a good.
I think that's a good additional line because I think that helps. Separate.
Right.
Can you rental profit instead of revenue?
Well, the rental profit would be the amount we're adding to the
So that would be the, that would be the line. But
yeah,
and the other thing is, I want to make sure that we're splitting out that we're doing the upkeep and that type is separate from historic preservation, because we need to make sure there's a clear definition that there's the
regular maintenance is one thing, like
yeah.
30 year. Restoration and preservation is indeed a whole separate category. So,
well, I mean, most of the restoration and preservation we're doing is the grant.
Yeah.
So, honestly,
year,
I mean, we've done some stuff in the past, but in general, those numbers aren't going to be broken apart very cleanly.
No.
And oh, by the way, the dollars that facilities spend on the house, we don't have any insight into at all.
Yeah.
So, none.
Okay. But that's good to just.
It's still good to separate the two.
I think we should keep the grant in a separate bucket. And then if we have major projects that we take on that are more in the arena of preservation and restoration.
Sorry, I just don't know if you wanted me to be part of this or you want me to be downstairs. I got here a little bit early. But
downstairs is fine.
Is that it? Okay.
Yeah.
So make sure I'm not. I'm so sorry. I'm supposed to speak.
Thank you. I'm busy. I'll introduce you when we get downstairs.
I do think we need to include student volunteer hours. That's something that's been in the past reports.
I think this is something
we have very much to show except for the
Christmas.
We don't have anything this year.
We had nothing this year.
Previously, we would have the student volunteer hours at the open houses.
Yeah.
But
we didn't have anything this year.
But not this year, we're
certainly not. I'm not tracking that.
No, I know you're not. But I
need
to know about it.
So here's the deal. I think we can discuss this at a meeting that we're setting up to finalize these things.
Yes.
And then this, that in particular, doesn't need to be discussed at this point. Okay. And then we can bring it back in front of the board to have our approval or disapproval. Okay.
That's good.
All right. I'm hoping that we can do it. It is the holidays, guys, so I don't know how exactly we're going to work this.
Can it go into January because we are at the end of the year? And technically,
most business reports on previous year happen to the following year anyways.
Right.
So I think we can go into January, and that was the original intent anyway. So truthfully, maybe we can meet before the next board meeting. Ladies, do you want to look at your calendars and figure out exactly how we're doing this or not? I mean, the bottom line is we're going to have a new board in January 1st. So, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, we'll have to set up a date, I guess, to work on that. Do you think it's reasonable to do before the next meeting or should we do it after?
I think we should do it after.
It's so squeezy.
Right after, then you give a little bit of time to get the final December. I mean, we don't have the true final December stuff citywide till like May or June. But
yeah, I understand.
So we can get our pretty solid.
Okay.
So right after that, maybe right after that.
So maybe we wait until to set the date.
We won't have good December numbers until the middle of January. Because until the P cards go final, we don't have good numbers.
And I do know that because Connie and myself and Karen have been working on this, I think I understand you're stepping off the board, but we'll still need your and approval of it because that you're talking right.
Actually, only the chairperson and the house manager signed this on board.
So she's welcome to
join us. We'll send it to
you. You're welcome to join us if you want.
That's fine. You
go work with me.
Okay.
All right. Thank you for that statement. Okay. Moving right along to the board recruitment status.
We're still, but we're just waiting. The council interviewed all of the candidates on December 10th, which was last Saturday, and we have not heard anything.
Okay. All right. Under new business, and we have shifted the Howard A. open house on the 14th to new business. So,
you know, for the Christmas pack up, maybe that's a January item. Should we move that to the January?
We can certainly move it to January as long as everybody understands it's going to be like short notice. We're going to sit there and on the 11th of January pick a January date to do it.
Right.
If you're okay with that, I'm okay with it.
Okay.
I think that's a good decision. And then,
you'll need to come and join us, so you can get your beautiful.
You did. You left your boxes here, did you not? So we could pack it for you too. So I'll reach out to you and we'll figure it out because it doesn't. It would be nice if it was on the same day because we'd love to see you,
right.
But it doesn't have to be.
Yeah. So we've already handled the Christmas decor packet, but I do want to move back onto the holiday open house on the 14th, because that is new business, and I want to make sure that, because clarification that it was brought up at the decorating thing, that the board wasn't aware of that, yet.
We just added it because of all the requests to see the holiday decor.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, your presence tonight is welcome, but it's not mandatory because it's just an opportunity for people to walk through and see the trees.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's great. I am really happy about it, but obviously it was added a long time ago because it made
I added it after the November meeting.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it's pretty busy.
But didn't it make the
Because Sue Ellen did heroic things for us.
Okay. So I thought that printing went from speaking in the past that we had to have anything into you by February for that to make that catalog.
No, there's a deadline for every catalog.
Yeah.
Okay. It was the end of October. I asked for all the information. So like I can handle quick things, I can be nimble with something very small like this,
mm-hmm.
and because I've been in the board meetings and aware of the passion to have people available to it,
mm-hmm.
we had that window to add it in,
mm-hmm.
and so I aired it. I'm sorry if I overstepped.
No, I think it's a great overstep. It's just I want to make sure because it was very clearly. Clearly to us that we are not supposed to be discussing anything on
this
house
is a house event. I set it up as a
house event,
not a board event.
Okay.
That's the difference. I set it up as a house event. We committed, the house staff committed to do it.
Okay.
And you guys are invited if you'd like to be here, but it's not necessarily a board function.
Thank you, Kathy. I appreciate that. Just for the clarification for one.
Okay.
On to other business, on to other business. Does anybody have any other business that we need to discuss again at this point that wasn't brought up? Okay, moving on to future agenda items. Open houses in January, discussing in January, club affair in January. I also think that we should put on that the introduction of new board members and election of chair people for future agenda.
That'll be on the agenda for January.
I just want to make sure it's on the agenda.
It will be. And the posting, where we're going to post.
Okay.
So all the normal January things will be on the January agenda.
Thank you. That's basically... Does anybody else have anything else that should be on the January agenda?
I think we should be reviewing future house restoration preservation projects just to be in the know about if there's something that is more urgent than we anticipated it to be.
I think we should do that in February. I think we, with new members, that would be a good thing for February.
So can we list it as a February agenda item to be added?
We also need to include scheduling a working session for the club selection criteria for adding new clubs.
But we can,
and we can do this, we can, in the January meeting, we can schedule the working session for later.
With the new board members?
Yes.
Okay, I think that's a good idea. What does anybody else think? Do you think that's a good idea?
Works for me.
And just the other thing is that you're entering into a time of a lot of work at the house.
Yes.
And that if time became a commodity that was somewhat limited, this criteria thing could really
get pushed back
quite a bit.
Right.
Because to add a club to them stop their ability to attend because of
I am not gonna, I don't disagree with that, Swellen. I think it's all about setting up the criteria. This has nothing to do with adding the clubs yet or putting that on, because I think, personally, I think there's a clear understanding on my part that, yeah, we've got all this restoration and stuff coming up, but we can certainly work on just getting our criteria set before we invite them.
It also complements Club Affair, which is on the January schedule. Because we kind of go back to talking about Club Affair again. So it's kind of
part and parcel.
Yes. And so both are kind of, you know, it's appropriate to bring them up in January and then start to figure out how to go forward working through.
I don't think it'd be a good thing to introduce new board members or whatever to the conversation, but depending on how that works. So everybody's getting their coats and purses on, and I don't know if it's just got chilly, but we're packing up and ready to go.
Well, we're doing well. It's 11:11. Is there anything else we want to discuss?
So how many people brought ornaments for the exchange? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
That's quite.
And I don't know about
that. But you're so much fun to watch
when you open
them.
Yeah.
Can't you?
You're like,
hey, that one slipped right by him.
Right, the couple days right now.
All right. Okay. All right. So I just need to.
If we have no other business, it's.
Yes. Okay.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay.